The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 8th chapter. When Jesus got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, for we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this? And even winds and sea obey him." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Who is Jesus? And what does that make us? That's the question of Epiphany. We learned at Jesus' baptism that Jesus is the Son of the Heavenly Father. And because of what he gives us in our baptismal waters, we receive adoption as sons and daughters, having favor with God. At the wedding of Cana, which was read in church a few weeks ago, Jesus introduced himself as our eternal bridegroom, inviting us as his guests to join him at the eternal wedding feast. And so today, in the season of Epiphany, we see a different confession of Jesus. And his disciples ask the question that we've been asking all throughout Epiphany: who is this man? They say, "What sort of man is this that even winds and sea obey him?" It's perfectly obvious to the disciples that this is no mere man. Yes, he's a man. He's flesh and blood. Jesus has eaten with them to strengthen his own flesh. He's drunk water to sustain hydration. And he's enjoyed the festival food and drink with them. Yet he's more. He's more than man. He controls the wind and the waves of the sea. Not even just controlled them, like Jesus is using the force from Star Wars. He rebuked the winds and the waves. Almost like how a parent rebukes a child when they do something they're not supposed to do. Only one who has authority over the creation can do such a thing. It's often been said of this text that this teaches that Jesus has control of the storms in our life. And if we just ask Jesus to intervene, he'll rebuke whatever we're dealing with. But here's the problem with that. Suffering remains on earth for the believer and unbeliever alike. Good Christians still get cancer. Good Christians still deal with chronic health problems. Good Christians still struggle to make financial ends meet. Good Christians still deal with the damaging effects of natural disasters. And it's not always a Jonah-like situation where God sends these things to us because we're running away from his call for our lives. Dangers in the Christian life remain. They don't go away with faith. Sometimes God lets the dangers prevail. We see it most clearly when we look at Jesus. The danger lurking in his life led to a bloody cross. Certainly God is in control of all things. There's no doubt about it. The Psalms declare it. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. And from Proverbs, many are the plans of a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Sometimes he allows us to endure trials for his purposes. In fact, he warns his disciples all throughout the Gospels that persecution from sinful man will come to them. But these trials have a purpose. And the purpose is for us to have trust and faith that God will deliver us, that our faith in him would be strengthened through pain, just like how an athlete gets stronger through pain. Many preachers and readers of the scriptures want to allegorize this text to teach that God is in control of the metaphorical storms in life. But if they do, they miss out on a very important teaching. I once read a story of a pastor who once catechized a family from a country in either Africa or South America. I can't remember where exactly. But he read them this story from the gospel lesson about Jesus calming the storms. And after reading the story, he asked leading questions like, well, what does this mean that Christ has control over things in your life? And he was looking for an answer like, yeah, he's in charge of the trials and the sufferings, the metaphorical storms that one endures in their life. But after the pastor read the story to them and asked them these questions, the family, they just sat there stunned, amazed, excited, thrilled. They said, wait, this man controlled the weather? He rebuked wind and waves, and they were calmed? This man must have authority over all the earth. How great is this? He must be God. And that's precisely the point. Jesus has authority over all creation. Because he, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, were at work when creating the world. The world submits to the very voice of God. Because he's the creator of it. Creation at the Garden of Eden was created with a perfect peace and harmony. It was very good. But ever since the fall of man, sin has infected the world. Most often we refer to sin as something that infects human beings. But also sin infects the creation. The weather patterns in animals are just as infected with sin as you are. The fields of agriculture and beasts of the field are just as infected with sin as you are. Scripture testifies to this. Our epistle lesson from Romans says, "The creation was subjected to futility because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation, all of creation, has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves. The Lord has subjected creation to decay and death, much like the state of our flesh." There's a one-way crash course towards destruction when all that was created good in the Garden of Eden will decay and die. And when that day comes, when the sinful earth and sinful man reach their finality, the Lord has the authority over creation to make it new again. And we see his authority exercised over it all as he rebuked the winds and the waves, as he walks on water to his disciples, as he conquers the destruction of his own flesh by rising from the grave. From his resurrection springs new life, a life that's characteristically different than before. Jesus has the authority with the death of his body to take up his body again. Jesus has authority over all creation. And this is good news for the new creation which is to come. Because God has control over the earth and all creatures that live on it. And so what does this mean for us? What does that make us? Well, by being baptized into his death and resurrection, God unites us to the death and resurrection of his Son, giving us these very same promises, that even though our flesh will decay and will die, we have the promise of new life. New life brought by Jesus. New life, resurrection, eternal life with God. Because of the name in which we're baptized. 2 Corinthians 5:17 proclaims the new creation that we are in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And Jesus, having control over the winds and waves, he shows that he's God. That he has authority over a decaying creation. That he works to bring new creation at the last day so that we may live eternally with him. What sort of man is this that the sea and the waves obey him? He's the son of David, yet he's the son of God. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.